Good afternoon and welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Tanya, Tara, myself, Sandy, and we have two guests, Haley and Janelle.
Yeah, from Grace University. Say hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
We're excited to have you here.
Excited to be here.
Yay, good.
Well, we're continuing with our Tara's On Disciple Making, and we hope you've enjoyed everything that we've done so far. It's just been a great series talking about the disciples, you know, and how God just calls us to be a disciple for Him. Mm-hmm. Lord, we're asking you, Lord, just to help us with this and just continue with this series with these sweet girls that are sitting beside us. Mm-hmm. We'll be in Luke 5, 1 through 11 today. Yay. So open your Bibles and here we go.
All right. First, I want to make an announcement. We had big news happen in the last month. Tanya, what's going on in your life?
Oh, I'm so excited. I recently accepted a position at Grace University alongside you.
Yeah.
We're so excited. They're going to be starting a women's soccer team, so I'll be the head coach of that and looking for some players.
Yay!
Some soccer players with some soccer skills, but that love the Lord. Yeah. So
that's the key.
I want to go after it. Yeah.
I'm excited. It's so much fun having Tanya. I get to see her now during the day.
I know.
And it's like I get these kisses from heaven. My friend Tanya. Yay. Well, today we're going to start with Lake Genesaret, which is also another name for Lake Galilee. And in this particular, in order to set the context, this particular setting, Jesus has been faithfully preaching and teaching. And some commentators, based on how they put the Gospels together, say that this passage that we're going to look at is probably believed to be the third, like, big interaction of the call of the disciples following Jesus. Well, after having preached and taught and he's tired, he went up a mountain to pray, he went to find a solitary place at this point. And the disciples were off doing their thing. Well, the crowds were coming after him. They're like, hey, we want you to stay. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to leave. You need to come back and you need to stay. It's also at this point that Jesus ends up telling them when he was in his own town that a prophet is never from, you know, known in his own town. Mm-hmm. And people were angry and they actually wanted to throw him off a cliff. Well, as he went across the lake and landed at Lake Genesaret, this is where our Bible story begins. And this is in Luke 5, 1 through 11. So as Jesus was standing at the Lake Genesaret and teaching, the people started crowding around him to hear the word of God. And Jesus noticed over to the side that there were some boats. And he ended up climbing into Simon Peter's boat and asking him to take him to the edge of shore. And from there, that's where he preached to the people on land. But when he was done preaching, he asked Simon to take the boat further out into the deep to cast their nets. And Simon said, Master, we worked all night and we didn't catch anything, but okay, because you ask, I will. And so Simon Peter cast out his nets, and as he began to draw in the fish, he was pulling in so many fish that literally the nets began to break. And he looked over and he saw the fishermen over there, and he called out to them and said, hey, come over here and help us. And so they came in and they were hauling in so much fish that they thought their boats would sink. At this point, Simon was so struck that he fell to his knees before Jesus and he cried out, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. At this, even James and John in their boat were astonished. And Jesus said, do not be afraid, for from now on I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. From there, Jesus had seen some of the other disciples, and he ended up calling them. That is shared with us in other passages of the Bible. May God honor the telling of his word. It's an amazing passage. And so what I'd like for us to do is we're going to dialogue through some of the things that have happened here. And the first thing I want to go back to where we were talking about the context, the setting of this passage, and how Jesus had gone to a solitary place to pray, and when he went to that place, the people didn't leave him alone. So what happened when he went to this place? What did the people do?
It says they pressed into him.
They pressed in.
Yeah.
Okay, I want you to visualize, he's there trying to draw near to God in his quietness, and they wouldn't even allow him to take the time to pray. Mm. And they're pressing in. Now I want you to visualize. So he's escaped. You know, we know in the passages before, it's also in Nazareth where they want him, you know, he says that a prophet's never recognized in his own hometown. Mm-hmm. And he's now here at the, what would be the Sea of Galilee, but it's pronounced like Hennesaret. It's another name. And he's standing there, and the people are listening as he is teaching. And again, I want you to visualize the pressure of people pressing in. Mm-hmm. The people are just pressing in and pressing in. And there are so many people that he's literally at the water's edge. And that's when he looks over and sees the boats and goes to that water's edge. Why do you think he took the boat to the water's edge?
That's actually really interesting. I'm taking a New Testament survey class right now, and my teacher was saying that a lot of the reasons that he teaches, like, from boats was because the crowds were, like you said, so huge and pressing on him so much that they were saying, talking about how there were instances where he could have been crushed to death. Mm-hmm. So he taught from the boat just so that, you know, he could speak and, you know, so that the people wouldn't crowd around him so much that he couldn't breathe.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah, it's amazing, Haley. Just imagine that many people. Imagine it.
Yeah.
When we were teaching at the Open Door Mission, I don't know, Sandy, if you were with me or not when I did this particular session last semester.
I don't think I was with this
okay.
one.
And Sandy comes periodically and prays at the mission when I teach. And the men and women were like, well, why would he get in the water? Wouldn't it be harder for the people to hear? Mm. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, why do you think, what do you think would happen if he's on the water and they're out on the land? What do you think would happen acoustically? Do you think it'd be easier or harder?
I just thought it was Jesus, so everybody would be able to hear. Right?
Think, you know, I love
acoustically,
that thing.
You know,
I love that thing.
I don't know.
Surround sound.
Yeah, surround sound.
Well, that, doesn't like when you're on the water, like your voice carries?
It does.
Okay.
It does. And that's exactly
you're
what
right.
happened.
It does.
And so visualize the wind coming from behind him,
mm-hmm.
and it would have picked his voice up and carried it out to the people. So it actually created its own form of amphitheater.
Hmm.
And made the teaching time that much more effective.
Mm.
And so as the people were pressing in, he's recognizing they're hungry for the word. Even when it came down to communicating it so they could hear it, Jesus did what needed to happen so that they could hear it.
Mm.
It's amazing.
For Bible
he used
times.
The wind.
Yeah, yeah he did. He did.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, as we're considering, I want us now, we're going to think on this. He looks over, he sees the boats. They went fishing at nighttime. They fished at night. Nighttime is when they did and caught the most fish. And then the day they would rest up and get ready, prepare their nets, and then they would go back out again at night. Daytime fishing is not the time to go fishing. Anybody will tell you, you go in the heat of day, the fish have gone down to where it's cooler in the
That's
lake.
Right.
They're not going to be near the edge. And but Jesus looks over and he gets in Simon Peter's boat. You know, this is all part of the preparation for Simon Peter. I love that. Just it's part of his wooing. And he gets in his boat and he says, let's go to the edge. He does the teaching. When he's done, he says, now let's go out to the deep. To the deep, let's go. And Simon Peter, what does he say?
Well, he had a little doubt there. We haven't caught anything all day, but
all night.
Yeah, all night. Yes,
so.
That's right, all night.
If
but
you
if you say,
say
so,
so
we will do it again.
Yeah. Okay,
and I love that.
I do. And he was like, Lord, all night long, we did this all night long, but it's you. What do you think he's recognizing at this point, knowing that he's seen Jesus preach and teach and heal for some time? Where did that but come in? What are you thinking is going through Peter's mind?
He seems to be expressing that Jesus knows more and has greater wisdom than he does and has greater power.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be able to tell them even what they would know of their trade. He'd be able to tell them even more than what they already knew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so even though he did what Sandy said and had that moment of doubt, immediately his mind, you know, that split second where your mind covers 1,000 places in one moment, and he's like, wait a second.
This is Jesus.
I've seen. At this point, I have seen what
his
he can do.
His faith kind of clicked in.
Right. And he's like, okay, if you say so, I will. Now he then takes the net and he throws them out, and what happens?
Abundance of fish.
Abundance.
Yeah.
Abundance.
Overflowing.
Overflowing.
Breaking the nets.
Yep.
I was just thinking, what a blessing.
Well, poor Jesus fishermen. Poor fishermen. Fished all night, caught nothing, and now they have more. And he has so much. What does he have to do? He looks out and he sees the other boats, and he calls upon the disciples, and he says, "What does he want?
Help.
He needs help. Yeah. Come. And so they're hauling it in, and their boats are about to sink. Okay. And as they go, and then all of a sudden something happens. They have a boatload of fish. They've got more food than they could worry about, and they have all the profits they could imagine that they would want to have. And instead of jumping up and celebrating and woohooing and praising the Lord, what does he do?
He said, "Go away from me, Lord." Is that when he did that?
He did.
For I am sinful?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think being in the presence of the Lord just brings that conviction of sin so easily.
Okay, good. We're doing a very good job in rebuilding this story. And then it tells us that James and John were also astonished, and that Jesus says something very important at this point. And he looks at them, he looks at Peter, and what does he say?
Do not be afraid.
Crucial. Mm-hmm. First words. Crucial. Yeah. Do not be afraid. He could have said, "I'm going to make you fishers men," but he didn't. He began with, "Don't be afraid," because Peter's on his knees in the boat. He's knee deep in fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, he had so much, the boats were sinking. You know, he's knee deep in his little rowboat of fish, and he's down there. "I'm not worthy to even stand in your presence, and I'm going to kneel in these fish." And he's like, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And I can, in my mind, it doesn't say this in scripture, but in my mind, I always visualize him kind of reaching his hand out and picking him up. And as he's saying, you know, "I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me." Now, this is when they leave their nets and everything. We've done a very good job in rebuilding the story. Now let's start asking some questions. When we think on this passage, how did Jesus throughout go about meeting needs of people? And you can say it for any aspect of people. It can be the people on the land. It can be the disciples. How did he meet needs? What did he do?
My first thought was when he said, "Do not be afraid," was he's such a comforter to us, you know. He's got that.
Well, and he provides them just like the basic needs to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Physical needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The fish.
Yeah.
The sound. I mean, the hearing his voice, the teaching, they're looking for. Okay.
Well, one of the most repeated phrases in the Bible is "do not be afraid." I think it's a big part of God's character that he doesn't want us to fear him or to fear life, because he's got us. Mm-hmm. He's got our backs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does anybody in this room have fear hit them on a daily basis?
Maybe not. Yeah, well, probably. Oh, yeah. Maybe not daily. Well, maybe yes.
It's so funny.
Absolutely.
It is so funny. Right now I am praying and surrendering, because tomorrow I'm speaking at Grace Chapel, and even though I do public speaking and everything, I still have that flesh fear that hits me. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness! I'm getting in front of people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be invulnerable in front of people, and I have to constantly just say, "I'm not going to be afraid. He'll give me what I need," and then go back and remind ourselves. We need that reminder.
But, and Tara, just, I mean, that's not everybody has to do that or gets to do that, but it's just, I think, everyday life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people that, you know, they may fear, you know, going to the grocery store by themselves, or they may fear, you know, where their next meal is going to come from. Mm-hmm. It can be just as the most basic fears.
It can be. And that's, I think, the reason why with the fish, mm-hmm. you know, and how the fish, it was so important that he was providing. And I love what you've brought in, because you're seeing it as the whole person. And it is. It's the whole person. So whatever it is that causes us to be afraid, the Lord will provide what we need. We just need to trust that.
I have to say this, Emily. I hope you're listening. That's my daughter. You do not have to fear the orthodontist.
Yeah. Oh, tough morning, huh?
Yeah.
I can understand that. Yeah. And so he met their basic needs. Okay. How did the people, I want us to think about the people. What was it they were responding to Jesus, just thinking on the crowds, going through and examining them? When he was teaching, how were the people responding?
They were drawn to him, literally.
Literally. Okay, I want us to sit there for a second. when we are in the presence of the Lord and we're in the process of giving the Lord, what does that tell us about how people will respond? If we are seeking to give the word, how will people respond? If Jesus was giving the word and people were coming, what's going to happen?
They'll draw.
They'll draw closer. And I think sometimes we will allow the fear of what we're going to communicate when it comes to, because this ultimately, if you remember at the very beginning, I said this is a call narrative to discipleship. That is what the commentators call it. It is a call to becoming a disciple. And one of the greatest things that happens to us as disciples is that we get fearful in speaking the very thing that will draw people to him. Oh, I better not say that because they might get offended.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I better not say that because it's not the right time. Or, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Our greatest need in our call as a disciple is for us to get over the fear and remember the very thing that we're afraid to speak is the very thing that draws people to him.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. And so as I was praying through this and seeing how it connects to our discipling, you know, making sure that I am faithful, that it's the word.
Mm.
And it's so easy to add in so many other things.
Mm-hmm. Or not even go there.
And to even, I mean, I think it all, it's like the context, the choice of words, our tone. I mean, if it's condemning, I think that's, you know, your defenses.
Language.
Yes, your body language, everything. Yeah. I mean, our message has to be delivered in the love that it was that it was intended.
Yeah. Sure. With the same kind of response, you know, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
It's okay. Here I am. You know, I mean, that's really kind of what he communicated. And the fact that he was willing to stand on the edge and stay in a boat and continue teaching. And when the people came to him, he didn't say, go away, I'm praying. I'd like to do that sometimes to my family. You know, I'm in my moment with God. You chew.
Please go away.
Let me have my space.
I love you.
Yeah, but we need to remember that that's what draws people in. We're getting so close to the end of our recording this week. You need to come back because what we're just going to slowly take apart this passage and examine what it means to be a disciple and looking at how Jesus met them there at that Lake of Galilee. We're glad to have Janelle and Haley with us, and we're excited about Tanya's new position, and I'm just excited that God's at work. You can contact us at terrorride.com or cultivatinghearts.org or at opendoormission.org. God bless.